If you have the hymnal and still keep it open, I just want to point out two words in the hymnal. That is related to what we are covering this morning. 839, anybody can find the word transform in this hymn? That's verse 2. The first two lines, let's read together. Though of clay thou madest us, thou wouldest have us be transformed. Okay, there's another word, building. Right, that building work. Verse 5, the last two lines. For thy building I give all, that thou may be glorified. Right. So this lesson we are covering, the lesson in the book. If you have the book, this morning we will use the book. The book on transformation, which is lesson 17. So if you can open to that lesson book, and then we can and also the outline. I guess you all have the sheet of the outline, right? Okay, the outline is a little different from the lesson, in that we have added another point. Let's read the lesson, the title together: transformation and building up, which is, you know, on this sheet, which you all have. Did you all have the cover sheet, you know, which is this sheet? This sheet. Oh, they don't have. Oh, okay. So starting from this week, we are covering 8 points concerning God's organic salvation. And Brother Dennis mentioned that earlier. So we want everyone to remember these 8 points. The first one, if you know it, you can say it. So we can say it together. The first one is regeneration and shepherding. Right. The second set, dispositional sanctification and renewing. And the next is the lesson, transformation and building up. And the next two, confirmation and glorification. Okay. If you don't know, don't remember, just listen carefully. And it's very easy, and you can remember right away. Regeneration and shepherding and dispositional sanctification and renewing. Then this lesson, transformation and building up. Then confirmation and glorification, which will be tonight. Then we'll finish the 8 points concerning organic salvation. I want to start, I want to go back to last week. Last week, the first lesson, I don't know whether you remember, the first lesson is concerning the eternal purpose of God and His economy. Then we used the verse in Genesis 1:26. So I think everybody knows that verse. Maybe we can say it together. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over the whole earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So this is God's eternal purpose in His creation of man. It's very clear right away in Genesis 1, He mentioned that. But in Genesis 1, He didn't mention how this man was created. It was in Genesis 2. Genesis 2 mentioned you know, in order to fulfill God's eternal purpose, God has to do something. So God, in chapter 2, he revealed to us that he created this man particularly with a spirit. You know, the hymn we sang, imagine that we are a man of clay. We are clay men. I don't know whether you realize or not. I'm looking at the clay man. And you are looking at the one clay man here also. So we all are clays. But this clay man is different. You know, in China, there's an emperor, you know, he wants to, but, you know, he made a lot of clay men. Yeah. Yeah. But those clay men are different from us. Because God did something extra after he made the clay man. Can anyone tell us how did he do it? Yes? He breathed life. How did he do it? Can you stand up and tell us? He breathed his what?
He breathed life into man.
Okay. The word said he breathed the breath of life into man. And man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. So we have the clay. We have the soul. Man is a living soul. Where is the spirit? Wilson, can you tell us? Who is the spirit? Yeah. In us. But God, did God put the spirit in? God put the spirit in man, right? But it was the clay. It was the living soul. The breath of God. The breath of God. You need to read Proverbs 20:27. I think. He mentioned that. There is a spirit in man. And the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. So it's in opposition. The breath of the Almighty and the Spirit. So the very breath into man became man's spirit. And when this breath of God contacted this clay man became living. So there were two ingredients. One, the clay. And the other, the breath of God. Then man became a living soul. So I want to point out that in order to accomplish God's purpose, God has to make a man, but a man with a spirit. Okay, this is very crucial. Okay, in chapter 2, the first step God took to accomplish his purpose was to have this man with the spirit. The second step, can anybody tell us? What did he do in order to accomplish his purpose? Dean? Yeah. Put man in front of the tree of life. So, so life is the way to fulfill God's purpose. That's why we cover this 8 points of God's organic salvation. What's organic, Nathan? Something of life. That's organic. So in order to accomplish God's purpose, God wants man to receive his life. Only his life can accomplish his purpose. I think this is very clear. So this morning, we are covering the matter of transformation and the building. And both these matters, you can see in Genesis chapter 2. Can anyone tell us where we can find transformation and building in Genesis chapter 2? Anybody? I know, you know we have a lot of small ones. Yesterday, you know, when we were covering the judicial and the organic, right? So a lot of sense labor come up with a lot of points. So what is the point of transformation? In Genesis chapter 2. In fact, one brother in reviewing the lessons, he mentioned. I don't know whether he is here. He must be here. But whether he can connect the point, he said it with the point that we are covering. Okay, let me just give you the answer. The answer is there was a tree and there was a river. Huh? You got the answer?
Genesis 2.
2?
10?
Yes. Why don't you stand up and read to us?
And a river went forth from Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four branches. The name of the first is Pishon, and it is the first, and it is the one that goes around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there.
Okay, can you tell us why you read these verses to us?
Because the materials that the New Jerusalem is built up of.
Uh-huh. Well, where's the word transformation? Where's the concept of transformation? Can you tell us?
Gold represents transformation.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I just want to tell you that if you have a heavenly view, you will see God is putting a picture in front of everyone reading the Bible. But not many see this picture. The picture is God made a clay man. This man is in front of the tree of life. And there's a river from Eden watering the garden. Then this river passed through the garden, and he suddenly mentioned gold, bdellium, and precious stones. He used the word bdellium and onyx stone. Okay? They are precious stones. If you have the view, you will know God's purpose is not just this clay man. God wants this clay man, by receiving the tree of life and the river of life, to be transformed, to become precious stones. And all these three matters you will find at the end of the Bible in the New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem has gold. New Jerusalem has pearls.
Right.
And New Jerusalem has precious stones. How come in the beginning of the Bible there was a bdellium? At the end of the Bible, it mentioned about pearls. Because in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, sin has not entered into man. So that pearl, bdellium, is of plant life. Pearl is of animal life. So this is very clear that, you know, God's desire that we all be transformed is concealed in the very beginning. Okay, then about the building. Did you know where the word building or build first appear in the Bible? This is an easier question. Anybody? If you read Genesis 2, you will see there's a word. Built. Anyone? Okay, yeah, give us. Stand up and give us the word.
And Jehovah God built the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man.
Right. This word mentioned, I guess everybody knows that God eventually, you know, he created Adam and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he brought a parade of all the animals before Adam. Adam was very smart, gave a name to everyone. You know what's God's intention in parading all these animals in front of Adam? There was elephant, giraffe, you know, the big one, small one, you know. They all were there. You know what was God's intention? Huh? Can anyone guess? Yeah? Yeah, brother? You are ahead. The answer. The intention was to see whether Adam can find a counterpart. And Adam made the right choice by not making the choice. You understand what I'm saying? God watched all this to see whether Adam can pick one as his counterpart. But he didn't make the choice. And that was the right choice. So God put Adam to sleep and took a rib out of Adam. And that's the verse the brother read. The brother read, he built a woman. That building a woman is the building throughout the whole Bible. God is only doing one building, having one building. You just look through the Bible. That is building. Okay, so I just want to give you a little bit, you know, the introduction to this lesson and a little review for the last week lessons. So this morning we come to the matter of a transformation. Transformation in the Bible, in fact, there are only two verses. There are not many verses mentioning about the transformation. So we have if you have the verses sheet, you know, you can take it out. If some of the things you have last week's, in fact, the most crucial verse for transformation is in last week's verse sheet. So we want to make a change for the on this sheet. We want to make a change, meeting 4, instead of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. We want to change that to 2 Corinthians 3, 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 18 is in last week's memory verses. Week 1 memory verses. And it's in meeting 7. Okay, so we want make a change on your memory verses sheet. So 2 Corinthians 3:18. So let me just begin with in fact Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 is the memory verse in meeting 3, the last verse in meeting 3. Has that Romans 12:2. Can we all read together? And do not be according to this age, for ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that ye may prove the will of God this, that which is good and well pleasing and perfect. Okay. It mentioned in this verse that we need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. This is what God wants to do. You know, we see in the very beginning, God wants this clay man, by enjoying the tree of life, by enjoying the river of life in Revelation 22, that man will be transformed into precious stones and gold and bdellium, pearls, for God's building. You know, this verse, Romans 12:2, is very interesting because it mentions that do not be fashioned according to this age. You know, the enemy is doing one thing, that is to fashion everyone according to this age. The age, this word, means a period of time. And it's a part of the world, you know. God's enemy, Satan, has systemized everything in this world. Everything God created, including man, he systematized into a called the fashion of this age. You know, everybody here, even the child, once the child is born, even two years old, he loves the things of the world, you know. In fact, every one of us here, maybe conscious or unconscious, you are being fashioned because the enemy wants to fashion you into his system, you know. Maybe the brothers are not so much, but the brothers are the same, you know, no exception. Sisters, of course, you like to dress fashionable, right? I don't know what's the fashion now, okay. There was a period of time, it was short, right? Short skirt. Then another time, it was long skirt. And brothers are the same, you know, the tie. Sometimes it goes narrow, and sometimes it goes wide, right? And also the shoes, you know, shoes. I know, before I never saw, shoes with the red color. I didn't grow up with any color of the shoes. But now it's very fashionable to have colorful shoes. Right in front of me, the brothers, you know, black, red, green. I don't know where. Oh, again, red, you see, or blue. Enemies fashion you into his fashion system. In New York, there's a college called Fashion Institute. Fashion Institute of Technology. I know a little bit. I had a colleague. I was, you know, we brothers before serving, we were also professional working. And they want me to teach there. But I don't teach fashion, okay? I know a little bit of technology, but you know, just because the environment, so I know a little bit of fashion, you know. The most fashionable things are the most ancient things. You may not know that. There was an article, it was showing that the Egyptians, you know, they were dressing with a wrinkled clothing. Yeah. I think the sisters understand, right? Some of your dress are pleated. Yeah. Pleated. In fact, they were ancient. They were Egyptians. Fashion. Fashion is like a cycle, okay? So the tie goes wide, and the tie comes back narrow. Everything. Car, fashion, you know, square. And then, you know. So, what should you do? God has a way. How does God counter Satan's fashion? Fashion everyone in the world. You know, now, before it was McDonald's, right? But now, Mexican food, I think, is in fashion. Right? How many loves Mexican food? Okay, my point is just eat your food. Don't be fashionable. Just enjoy your food. Many things, let me tell you, when it comes, it may become a fashion. You know, just yesterday, I went to get a haircut and news, headline news. Robin Williams commit suicide. Let me tell you, even commit suicide can be a fashion. So you all just be watchful. How can you be rescued from that fashion? By God's word. God's word says, thou shalt not kill. We will think, I always thought that verse was referring to I should not kill others. Don't kill yourself. Commit suicide is kill. So if you have this verse in you, you will never commit suicide. So we need God's word. God's word, not just, you know, oh, we enjoy the spirit in the word. God's word conveys the divine thought, the divine concept. The same thing, you know, homosexual is not as fashionable. I even in New York, some colleges, you know, one day in front of me in the subway, you know, you will be on the subway. Anything can happen in subway. I saw two men. One is Asian, and the other one is not Asian. And so they were kissing one another. I have not seen that before. That was the first time. You know what's that, right? One burden, this summer school truth, is that God's eternal purpose is for man. God bless man. So man will multiply and replenish the whole earth. But if everybody is, I like this too, where will be the children? The enemy is very tricky. So we all should be renewed. Amen. By God's word, by God's living word. So maybe we can read Romans 12:2 together one more time. Do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. So, okay, let's come back to the lesson this morning. This morning is on the matter of transformation. So we need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, because the mind is the leading part of our soul. Our soul, we have a mind, emotion, and will, but the mind is the leading part. So a lot of time, most of the time, the way you do things, I do things, you know, is according to how I think. I think this way, I think it's good. I think it's good for me, it's good for others, then I just do it. So your mind is governing your living, your behavior. So how can our mind be proper? Sometimes a person think too much, you know, this person, he look at me, he doesn't look at me with friendly eyes. He must, you know, I know him, and he must have a problem with me. Then maybe I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about him. You know, he should be nice to me. So that mind causes you to be in a turmoil. I don't know whether anybody sitting here, while you're sitting here, you're thinking about another brother or another sister, and that troubles you. So our mind need to be renewed. And this is for our transformation. Transformed by the renewing of the mind. And this, you know, through God's word. Okay, concerning the transformation, we have definition both in the outline sheet and also in the book. Maybe we all can read the book first. Transformation, that is the first paragraph. Lesson 17. If you have it, open to that lesson 17. We can read the first paragraph together. It mentioned transformation is an inward change. Okay, let's go. Transformation is the result of sanctification and is related to man's soul. Transformation means that the substance changes in nature and form. This is an inward change in nature that causes an outward change in form. So this lesson is related to the previous lesson concerning sanctification. Sanctification, we have said, sharing, reviewing the lesson, it mentioned that sanctification is to be holy. And to be holy is to partake of God's holy nature. And he gave us the definition concerning transformation, that is the result of sanctification. But still, sanctification and transformation, there are differences. Sanctification is to partake of the divine nature, but transformation is the result, but has something more. So that's read on of the book, in the book, the next paragraph, a process of metabolism. Let's read together. This type of change is a metabolic change. It is not just an outward change, but a change in inward constitution, as well as in external form. This change occurs by the process of metabolism. In the process of metabolism, an organic element filled with vitamins comes into our being and produces a chemical change in an organic life. This chemical reaction changes the constitution of our being from one form into another. This is transformation. So this verse, this paragraph gave us some explanation concerning transformation, especially in the organic aspect. We human beings were clay, but God made us with a spirit, so we can receive God. And the first aspect of organic salvation is we receive the divine life into us. Then this life needs to grow, so there's the shepherding, the feeding, the growing. Then after that, there is the sanctification. Sanctification is that we partake of the divine nature. So regeneration is related to life. Sanctification is related to nature. And the nature is inside the life. We human beings, we have human nature. And living beings, they have their nature. Like an animal, animal has a animal nature. For a cat, like a cat is different from a dog. A cat will meow, right? A dog is what? Right? How would you think if a cat is meowing? You think the cat is sad or the cat is happy? Both. But anyway, that's the way the cat expresses or her emotion. Okay, so nature, all of us, we have our human nature, but God wants us to partake of the divine nature. That is sanctification. Okay, just to impress you a little bit concerning this matter of different nature, I asked some of the brothers to help me to demonstrate this matter of concerning the nature. Okay, Nathan and up to brother Winston. The brothers go behind brother Nathan. Okay, say brother Nathan is a mother hen, and the rest of the brothers they are chicks. But there's one is a duckling. What's the story? The story is sometimes the mother hen the mother hen will sit over the eggs, right? Then the eggs eventually will have the little chicks come out. And there was a situation that among someone that had all the eggs, but he has one egg is a duck's egg. So he doesn't know what to do, so he put it with the rest for the mother hen to hatch over the eggs. So eventually, all came out. So all the chicks with one duckling. So eventually they come out, they were by a little lake, and okay, the mother hen is leading all the chicks. Okay, here is the lake, okay, little lake. No, you are chicks. You are not duck. Okay. That's good. I don't know whether you get the point, okay. Caleb was trying to follow Brother Wilson, jump over. What would be his result when he jumped into the lake. He will die because he is not a duckling. He is a chick. So whoever chicks, they don't like water. Only ducks love water. So that's him. Okay. Okay. Thank you. My point is, whether you know or not, we all had a human nature, but one day we receive the life of God. The divine nature came into us. And this nature, just like, you know, the demonstration, that this divine nature has its nature, which is different. And God's desire is that we may partake of the divine nature. When we partake of this divine nature, we become holy. We become sanctified. And this sanctification has a result that is transformation. So most of us, you know, when we receive the law, some of the things of the divine nature, you may not like it in the beginning because you didn't know you are not a chick. You are a duckling. So with all the chicks, chicks are afraid of water. So Brother Caleb's behavior was not normal. Because he jumped into the lake, which is he will die. Have you ever seen a chicken, a little chick, jump into the water? No. Except Brother Wilson. Winston, sorry, Winston. Winston. So, Brother Winston is a duck. He's a little duckling. So, he loves water. So, all of us, once we receive the divine nature, that nature is developing in you. We may use the word sanctification. We may also use the word transformation. And we all are being transformed. That is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Okay, I just want to mention this, that we will know sanctification and transformation. Okay, transformation is very crucial. This is God's desire. I want to make another demonstration. Brother Winston, can you come? What's this?
It's heavy.
Heavy what?
No, I don't know.
What you think? Yeah. What you think?
Like a plaque of some sort?
Huh?
No. Like a plaque of some sort? No. A sculpture.
Sculpture?
So,
yeah. Okay, I'll show you.
Okay.
What's this?
Oh, it's a rock.
It's a rock. Okay. I want him to read the label. Okay? I want you to read the label. Read the label.
Arizona petrified rainbow wood.
What?
Is it a rock or a wood?
Fossil.
I guess it's wood.
It's wood. Did you believe? Feel it. Feel it. Is it wood or rock? Huh? Is it wood or rock?
It feels like rock.
It feels like rock.
It's rock.
Marble.
It's wood. It's a petrified wood. Anybody understand what is petrified wood? I picked this up in a petrified forest. In Arizona, there's a forest there. And it's a. There are many this kind of rainbow wood there, but it's stonized. I don't know whether that's the right word. Huh? Stonized.
Fossilized.
Huh?
Fossilized.
I'm not sure whether maybe. Anyway. The wood, when you put into the wood at that time, when it goes through a process, they say some of this wood, because it fell in the river. And that river has a lot of minerals. So the water goes through the wood. Years after years, we don't know how many years. And while the water is flowing through, it discharges the wood. And it deposits the minerals. You know, carry out the wood particles and deposit the minerals. And eventually, this piece of wood, you know, I was trying to kick one of the wood. And I realized it doesn't, you know, I cannot do it because it's a stone, it's a mineral tree, you know, laying there. This is transformation. This transformation. Transformation is, it's wood, but eventually everybody will say it's a stone. But still, it looked like a wood, you know. If you look at that, look like a stone? It looks like a piece, a part of the trunk of the tree. So God today is doing this with all of us, okay? So we all are being transformed. Quickly, I just want to give you some of the things concerning transformation. Transformation, if you have pen, write this down, okay? The definition of transformation is not merely a perceptible change outwardly in behavior. Okay, let me read again. Not merely a perceptible change hourly in behavior. In other words, it's not just something visible, sensible, a change. Okay. Being a metabolic transformation inwardly in essence. One more time. Being a metabolic transformation inwardly in essence. Just like I mentioned, that tree went through a process. Okay? The process of this wood to become that petrified wood is not life, but it's in the principle that it's discharging and it's depositing. So transformation involves a new element coming into it, and at the same time discharging the old element. So while you are sitting here, you know, the metabolic process is going through your being. If you had a breakfast, you know, it needs something new to be deposited or dispensed into you. Then it will form, it will break down the food and build up something new. New cells. At the same time, the old cells is being discharged. The new cells is supplied into your system, in your bloodstream, carrying all the nutrients to supply you, to energize you, to transform you. And this is the transformation. Okay. Now I want to give you the steps of transformation. The step of transformation is A, beginning from our mind. Romans 12:2 mentioned, you know, we need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So the beginning is our mind. Then it's through our spirit, which is mingled with the spirit. This is B, okay? A is beginning from the mind. B is through our spirit, which is mingled with the spirit, the divine spirit. So the divine spirit is carrying out this transformation. Okay, transformation is not that you can transform yourself. You know, there are people in this world, they try to improve themselves. That is not transformation, because they are, you know, they don't have any new element. They just try to, you know, I guess you know what is mortician, right? Mortician, right. Mortician, what does he do?
They take care of
dead people. Just make, you know, look better. That is not transformation. Transformation is a new element. The spirit is working in us, okay? And C, reaching all the inward parts of our being. So this is a transformation. God's desire is from our spirit, then eventually spread to our mind, then our emotion, our will. So this is a transformation, reaching all the inward parts of our being. And D is a metabolic process of transformation. In other words, it's a process. So brothers and sisters, I don't know about you. Anybody here is very satisfied with yourself? Raise your hand. Very satisfied yourself. There's nobody, okay. There were two raising their hands. I don't know whether they know what they are doing. You know, I'm not satisfied with myself. But what should you do? You'll be disappointed when you try to do something. God's way is not that just, you know, try to improve yourself. You know, that person commits suicide. It must be he could not do anything more by himself. So he gave up. But God said, what he needs is regeneration, transformation. This is why we're going out in the afternoon. So we just need to, what we need to do is just put ourselves in the process of transformation. And you will find out every day something new is in you. Look at the newness God is putting into you. You will be full of hope. I'm full of hope. Because as long as I got God adding into me, I'm being transformed. And you'll be the same. It says transform into the same image. Amen. Okay, Brother Nathan, come up. Which person you like better? Which person look better? Looks better. If I'm you, I will pick him. I like to be him. Thank you. Let me tell you, sister, don't be disappointed. I am more burden for sisters in this matter. Sister, don't be disappointed. We all will be transformed into the same image. The way you look at just yourself is not God's way to look at you. God look at you, we all will be transformed into the same image. Okay, let me just finish the steps of transformation. E is not accomplished in an instant. So don't expect you're going to be changed instantly. Not accomplished in an instant. F, but achieved throughout our entire life. F, let me repeat. E, also repeat. E is not accomplished in an instant. F is, but achieved throughout our entire life. Okay. The rest, I'll just, you know, there are a lot of riches in this area, but I don't have time. I just want to mention to you, the way to be transformed is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Maybe you can read that verse together one more time. And Second Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. So in other words, one day we all will have the same image. But what we need today is we all with unveiled face. If you read the previous verses, it says that whenever they turn their hearts, the veils are taken away. All the detail, you know, the working of transformation is just by our coming to the Lord. You know, even when you spend the personal time, you just need to come to the Lord. And even sometimes, you know, you don't need to say anything. You just sit there before the Lord. The Lord is carrying out a transformation. You behold the Lord. Beholding and reflecting. Reflecting. Every day, spend a little time, sit before the Lord, and you will be beholding and reflecting. And you will be transformed. From glory to glory. You know, a person spend time before the Lord, and the person doesn't spend time before the Lord, there's a difference. Because the one doesn't spend time before the Lord, there's no progressing from glory to glory. If you spend time, people see you next time will be different from the previous time they see you. Because you are in this process being transformed from glory to glory. Okay, even from the Lord's Spirit means the Spirit is carrying out transformation, not us. Okay, I need to finish. So we can read the outline. Let's take out the outline sheet, okay? Read Roman numeral 1 together. In the metabolism, in the divine life, and in the joining and knitting, in the building up. Okay, this Roman numeral 1, in fact, is covering the whole message. The message is concerning transformation and building up. And this Roman numeral 1, the first part is concerning transformation. Transformation is in the metabolism, in the divine life. And the second part, so circle the word end, because that end is very crucial. It's telling us that this Roman numeral 1 is referring to the entire message, entire lesson. The first part is in the metabolism of the divine life. And the second part is in the joining and the knitting, in the building up. Okay, then we'll cover the building up when we finish, when we come to Roman numeral 3. Okay, transformation. Roman numeral 2, transformation. Sisters, A. Be brothers.
By believers turning to the Lord, and thereby removing the various kinds of veils of their old concepts.
Right. You know, when you spend time with the Lord will shine on us, and some are old concepts. Whatever concept you picked up from books, from your friends, from the Facebook, from the news, many concepts, they're old concepts. When we come to the Lord with unveiled face, the Lord will unveil us. See, brothers, even more by the believers with an unveiled face, beholding the Lord and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord. So it's by the beholding and reflecting like a mirror. Brothers. Thus they are being transformed into the same image as the Lord from one level of glory to another level of glory for the Lord's expression. So the image is for the Lord's expression. You know, we are transformed into the same image doesn't mean you look better now. It means the Lord is being expressed. Okay. Okay. E and F, let's read together. Even as from the Lord's Spirit, that is Christ as the life-giving Spirit. F. This requiring the believers, outer man to be decaying, to be consumed, and that their inner man may be renewed day by day. So, you know, in order to transform you and me, the Lord arranged many things in our everyday life. The everyday life, the things happening to you and happening to me, is to cause us, the outer man, to decay, that the inner man may be renewed. If your outer man doesn't decay, the inner man is not able to renew, because the outer man is occupying the space. So it's just like the river passing through this tree trunk. It needs to discharge the old and deposit the new. So the law sometimes making our environment, you know, in fact, all the environment happening to you and happening to me, they are custom designed by the law. It only fits you. It doesn't fit me. Don't say, hey, he or his environment is better for me. No, it doesn't. It's not that way, okay? Okay, let's come to Romans 3, building up. Brothers, building up is the garment being joined and knit together with other garment in the divine life by their growth in the divine life. B, brothers. Again. Okay, C, sisters. You got more. The building up of the body of Christ in the New Testament is this kind of building up by being joined and knit together in the divine life, in its purpose. Right. All these points are contained in Ephesians 4, 15, and 16, which you have your memory sheets. Let's read these two verses together. In meeting 4, Ephesians 4, 15 to 16. But holding to truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, Christ, out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together to every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. So you can circle the word building up. These two verses are referring to the building up. But the building up, if you read the outline, is very particular. It's not the kind of a building we usually mention, you know, in other messages. The building up here, about building up itself in love, that is, the body builds up itself in love. So there are a few words I want you to circle in verse 15, the word head, H-E-A-D, and Christ. Circle these two. Then verse 16, circle the word body. Then circle the word, the three words, each one part. Then again, the word body. So in these two verses, they all are involving life, like head. You know, my head has life. Otherwise, it will be a statue, right? Only your head has no life. So the head here referring to life. And also the body, you know, also referring to life. And each one part referring to all the members of the body, they're also of life. Then here, use the word growth, you know, the growth of the body, that we may... the growth of the body. So all this referring to life. So it's not like, you know, in the past, when we talk about building, we'll ask, you know, Nathan, Brother Nathan, who you are built up, who have you been built up with, you know? You are, Yuan, okay. Very good. So we will ask, is he, who else is built up with you? Anybody else? Okay. We say in the building, right, there's somebody to your left, right? You know, if there's a brick here, there's somebody in the left, somebody in the right, and somebody in the top, somebody underneath, right? That kind of building is not what we're talking about here. Because that kind of building has no life. the building here has life. So our building is by our growth. When we are growing, we are being knit together. We are being joined together. And this joining is also not the, you put the glue, join the two pieces of paper together. It's not that kind of joining. This kind of joining is by life. So that's why the building up in this portion is very much related to life. Okay, you know, recently we had a training, and the training, there was a message. In fact, it's on this lesson. It's called Transform for Building, right? Transform for Building. So in the Old Testament, the picture was Jacob. Jacob, he was a supplanter, you know, a heel holder. He tried to get, you know, get all what he wants. He wants to get his father's blessing. He wants to get his brother's firstborn, you know, the first birthright, you know. But at the end, the Lord transformed this person by changing his name from Jacob to Israel. Of course, it's not just changing name. When the Bible says changing name, that means something happened. So this picture concerning Jacob is concerning all of us. The God, what God is doing, God is transforming us so we can become Israel for God's building. So today, the transformation has a goal. Okay, let me give you the purpose of transformation. The purpose of the transformation is A, building up of the body of Christ, and B, the accomplishing of God's eternal economy. This is the purpose of transformation. And there's also the issue of transformation. The issue of transformation is growth and maturity in the divine life. So when we are being transformed, in fact, we are growing and we are being matured. And B, the issue of transformation is arriving at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the issue of transformation, A, is for the growth and maturity in the divine life, and B, is arriving at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Both the matter of transformation and building can only happen in the church life. So if you want to be transformed, stay in the church life. And if you want to build up God's house, in fact, that building up the woman is what God is doing throughout all the ages, throughout the whole Bible, in order to have the final New Jerusalem. And if you want to be a part of the building, in fact, that is the only way for us to live a meaningful life and to live a life that one day will be counted. And God will say, yes, you are part of my building. Amen. You were building the summer school of 2014. We are building what? We are building the body of Christ. Amen. We are building God's eternal dwelling place. Amen. We are building what God was doing in Genesis, building the rib into a woman. But throughout the days, God is building. Praise the Lord, we can be transformed.
Amen.
And praise the Lord, we can be a part of the building.
Amen.
Amen. Let's have some prayer with your neighbor.